Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Rolling.
That's the goal.
Turn it up a little bit. We're gonna talk about that.
The buckets feel this thing. Call me, send me, I'm the realest thing. I was on road, send me a catch miss. Now I wanna see this thing. Caribbean girls, West Indian girls. My love all day went up the waist. Oh God, and I love my Habesha girls. The shape so crazy. Oh Allah, bust on eight like Waha. She know I'm making gains at. And I need me a girl who can handle the bread. Cause hustlers don't make pension. The innocent man. Three big bro detention. And I just made 10 off F, said fuck the collections. Cause two died in the bangle. Well, you know
what? Relentless.
Syndicate Ave, medic and boy, or slide, it's a blessing. Lived in garage at age 16 on my own, so I must see wealth.
Listening to drill with a wine glass is crazy.
We're mixing up the culture.
10 years in Relentless.
Tank on EOT at the sleep on roll. Table band or diaries, cause we died when drugs she rose. Lord, forgive me, please, for all of the things that I did on road. Poor unfortunate souls. Every burger flown, everything gets sold. I'm in love with road. I can't say enough on tracks, but I have stories when I get old. And now you have kids yet, so I can't let my heart turn cold.
Wave.
It's poppin', Zo.
Welcome to your first of many, hopefully, appearances on the Relentless Diaries podcast.
I'm scared still.
This is a bonus episode, ladies and gentlemen. We're giving out back-to-back Wednesdays because we had to put on for my boy Wave because he is dropping a project on Friday, October 21st, wow, called Catharsis. I'm saying that right. Okay, so before we get into it, I want to give everyone the definition of catharsis. He does say it in his project, which I like the intro.
I thought that was really good.
Appreciate that stuff.
It's a good starting point with that. But so the meaning, according to Google, of catharsis.
Still not Google.
Huh? Deadass. So the meaning of catharsis is the process of releasing and thereby providing relief from strong or repressed emotions.
Have you heard of the word before?
No, I actually haven't. Glad that your intro, we listened to the project, obviously. This is a Relentless Diaries exclusive.
Relentless.
So we already heard the album. And no, I didn't know what catharsis meant. So I'm glad. And I didn't Google it before either. So I just pressed play on your file. And then the first intro was, you know what it is.
I had to do it still.
Yeah, so going with that, congratulations. I really I'm not just saying it because you're here. I actually really enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I actually really enjoyed it.
I'm trying to look in your eyes to see if you actually...
No, I actually did genuinely enjoy it.
Okay.
I was nervous because I was like, yo, I'm listening to it on the way to record this podcast. And if I don't like it, I don't know how I'm going to, like, you know, have him, one, freestyle, which we'll also get into a little bit later. And two, like, talk to him.
You wouldn't just be like, yo, this is garbage.
I would have definitely been like, yo, I wasn't, like, this is not giving what I thought it would give. But I was actually, like, impressed. Like, I texted Shannon, like, okay, like, this is solid. So congratulations on that. Yeah, the We'll get into everything. But how do you feel like releasing this project, and like what does it mean to you, and like where did the name come from and everything like that?
How do I feel releasing this project? Feels cathartic. Because that's like the other.
I got it. Yeah,
the root word.
The root word. Yeah,
but it feels cathartic for real because like I put like my heart into that shit for real. Can I say shit?
Yeah, you can swear on here. This is not.
I put my heart into that shit for real because like it like I've been through a lot of shit, so like I was able to be vulnerable and like talk about certain things in there, and it's like a compilation of like 4 years of like things that I've been through. So. I was able to put it in there. The name came. I knew I was going to make a project called Catharsis before I actually had the project. Like, I just knew one day I'm going to make something called Catharsis. Before I even knew what it meant, it just came to me like, yo, I know this just sounds like something. Like
that name just came into your head.
It just came into my brain. Like,
you must have heard it before.
I don't think I did. I think it was like a divine download. Like, you're going to make an album called Catharsis. I was just running with it for like years ago before I had it. And I was like, I'm going to make something like this. And then it just manifested itself throughout the past like 3-4 years of just making music that was of that nature, and then it came to what it is, you know. So
what do you think Zoe's divine download album title would be called?
Yo, why these are great questions.
Divine download.
What do you think it would be?
I feel like it would probably be something like,
I don't think it'll make any sense.
Yeah, it'll be some random cohesive. Yeah, it would be like some random, a word that represents like a lot of like various things in like, maybe like haywire.
Okay, what?
I think the name of the podcast is pretty, you know, encapsulates Zoe. She's pretty relentless. She's pretty relentless, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like relentless is too calm of a word for what Zoe's project
is. It's too tame. Relentless is too way tame. Too, wow, okay. That
rowdy.
Something to think.
Rowdy.
Slow.
Okay.
Why do you think the podcast is called Relentless? Because niggas is relentless.
Literally.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, but yeah, I was going to say, on the album, the production is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Godflow.
Yeah, the production is
crazy. He did your album top to bottom?
He didn't do the whole thing, but he executive produced it, but he has a lot of joints on there.
Jeez, okay,
so how many tracks did you make that you had to cut down
Holy
to the
shit,
album?
Broski. There was like 40 songs.
Wow.
Originally, the album was going to be...
Thank you for not giving us a Chris Brown, because I would have been like, that was my first thing, like, nigga, what the fuck you giving us 40 songs for?
Nah, real shit. It was like 40, and then I was going to make it like a 26-song album, because I was like, yo, I have to get everything in there. And then I just said, you know what, fuck it. Like, Godflow was like, yo, let's just narrow it down to like a good 15, whatever, and then I did that. But it's going to be a deluxe.
Okay.
It's going to be a deluxe.
It's going to be a follow-up. Yeah. When you're doing that, because your album, you have like a very wide range of sounds and, you know, bags that you tap into. So like when you're cutting down those songs, are you kind of trying to make like, okay, I need this many like drills. I need this many sort of like, you know, radio friendly, maybe pops. Like, honestly, are you trying to make an even balance, or was it very just what you were going through?
What I was going through still. Because like
it just happened to be a well-balanced thing like that.
It just happened to be like, and I feel like these things just divinely happen. Like I ended up making really like painful cathartic music, or like music that was of that nature for like the past couple of years. So I just pulled all those types of songs into one and just like listened to them, arranged them. And then towards the end, the last two songs off the project were actually Wawa. And Wawa was the last song. Wawa was the one I made. I was like, yeah, it's over. It's done. Like, it's complete. And then before that was Painful. And that was the one, like, Painful was more so like, I felt like I needed to get super vulnerable and like hit a spot that like was more vulnerable than like kind of encapsulate everything and just really talk to people, like really touch that spot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I did that and I was like, okay, that's covered. And then Wawa, I need another one, that's covered. But those are the only two I intentionally made besides the intro Catharsis that I actually made for the album still.
Mm-hmm. I think like Clyde said, the album is super versatile. And not that I didn't think that you were versatile, but I didn't realize that you could do that much versatility.
That the bag was that
deep. I did not realize your bag was that deep.
A lot of people don't really.
Yeah, I definitely commend you on that. And I think that listening to the album, it was kind of like, it was versatile, but it was very cohesive at the same time. And it was kind of like reading your journal. Like, you know how, like, you write, you have, okay, today was a really, really bad day, but today was a really, really lit day. And today it was kind of like this. It was really like reading a journal from, like, beginning to end of, like, your story.
So how do you think it flows?
Because I think, like, one thing about, so there could be, like, really good cohesive albums where it's, like, the sound is very similar and it's, like, for example, like, Drake's Nothing Was the Same. People like say sonically. That's, like, exactly, it's yeah. sonically cohesive, right? Like, from beginning to end, like, he has, like, a one, like, Worst Behavior, like, a track in there, but, like, production-wise and, like, whole vibe and, like, lyrics, it's very, very cohesive. But I feel like with yours, the story stays the same, but there's versatility. So there's not like, yo, where the hell did that song come from? You know what I'm saying? Like, how the hell did we get here? Like, it flows very well.
I'm but glad you said that story.
But it's not the, that. Yeah, but it's not the same sound. Like, for me, I like Nothing Was the Same, but it's not, to me, it's not my favorite Drake album, just because I feel like it's cohesive. But I feel like I'm hearing very, very similar things. And I'm a person, I really like to hear versatility. Like, my favorite's Take Care. I feel like the same thing. Take Care was cohesive, but you still got different, like, sparks of Drake every couple songs, right? And Nothing Was the Same. It was kind of like beginning to end. It flowed. But I like that whole versatility, cohesive. But I think you did that very well.
Thanks. Actually, Nothing Was the Same is my favorite album still.
Yeah, you think so? Of all time?
Nothing Was the Same?
Just because of when it dropped.
I can see that.
Like, of all time. Like, every yeah. rap album ever.
Of all time.
That's your Illmatic.
Yes. The memory right. attached to it.
Exactly. And that's kind of why I wanted to drop Catharsis. Like, I was supposed to drop Catharsis, like, 2 years in a row, and it just didn't happen. But, like, I knew I wanted to drop it in this time of year because of, like, the seasons, the energy around this type of year. It's, like, this is a time where, like, fall's coming. Like, it's
fall here. Insinuates, it's cold outside.
It's cold as shit, yeah. Fall, like, fall is, like, it insinuates, like, death. Like, plants are dying, trees are dying, like, things are going back down to come back up in spring.
It's like the dark part of the rebirth,
right? Part of the rebirth. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what Catharsis kind of embodies. So, like, around this time, people start getting seasonal depression. Like, people start going inside, recluse. Like, you kind of have more time to reflect. This is the kind of time where, like, this project was, like, on me like this. Like, so I was like, I know I have to drop it this time. That album, Nothing Was the Same, dropped October. Like,
it was in the fall.
It was in the fall, but, like, it was in the brighter side of fall. And then, like, I remember when it dropped, it was just like, holy shit, I'm in this world right now of Nothing Was the Same. And it just, the sky looked like the thing of the cover. And I was like, yeah, this is it for me. Like, so that's what I tried to do with Catharsis. I tried to, like, plant it in that time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Time stamp it in a way.
So. Just speaking of Nothing Was the Same, just one of my favorite things that I think is a lost art when it comes to, you know, cohesive projects is, like, that you did very well. Like, the little skits and the interludes and the sound bites at the end of it. What's, like, your approach with doing that? Like, when you're making the song, do you, like, have it in your head, like, okay, this kind of excerpt needs to be set at the end, you know? Or is it, like, after the track, like, after mixing, you're kind of like, oh, this would, like, sound good. And then there's also, like, very vulnerable, sentimental things, mm-hmm. like, I think your family members and stuff like that, where you hear their voice. So, like, what was your approach for that? Because I think it's an excellent thing for storytelling, you know?
I feel like, I'm somebody, like, I'm always, like, thinking artistically, like, like, on the song Wanna Know, like, I had my nieces on there, my twin nieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a voice. One time I was driving them somewhere, like, this is 2020, and they're in the car just talking their shit in the backseat.
When they asked to go to the adult party?
Yeah. About, yeah, the adult party, no shaking booty, that part. Like, that was like a 20-minute clip that I just, like, cut, but I just put my phone on record and I just put it there because they're going to say some golden stuff.
Mm.
And I was thinking more so, like, in the future when they're older, I want to show them, like, this is how you guys used to talk when you're younger. I might could use it for something creatively, but I'm always, like, thinking like that. So
that's a great mindset to have with the field that you're in. Like, really good.
100%.
So shorties need to be careful with you with the voicemails
there's
and
some,
everything.
There's they some voicemails
up,
on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like, and then there's yeah, so
let me tell you something. All the voice notes on there are, like, real. Like, those are, it's not like
word.
Like, it's like maybe like a 1-2.
So they're not from YouTube acted, or like a, edited.
They're all, like, organic. Like this girl was mad at me. Oh, don't talk to me ever again. Bet content.
No. So
do you have to clear that? Do you have to clear the sample with
that's
them?
Crazy. On a different song, way back, I put some crazy shit on a song called "Show Me Love," and a girl, like, literally, I don't know if I could say this right now.
You can say. Nah, listen. No, this is Relentless Diaries.
This is the place
you gotta do it. Don't sign.
But you see, moving forward, now it's going to be sticky for me to, like, do my thing. Like,
I
you know,
mean, listen.
I can't use people as
one thing, like, as a woman, if a woman fucks with you, she's going to give you a couple excuses. Honestly, you know what I'm saying? She'll give you some leeway.
All I'm going to say is go listen to my song, Show Me Love, and listen to the end of the song, near the end of the song, and you'll hear what I'm talking about. The girl who that was messaged me or called me when the song dropped, like, yo, I hate you. I was like, the fuck you talk about? I'm trying to play like, you know. She said, I know what you did. I know that's me. I'm like, fuck. She's like, just make sure I get my royalties. I'm like, yo, no one's going to know it's you. Like, like, she's like, I want to make sure I get my royalties for it. But she was joking, but she was pissed. Like, but then.
So is she the same girl that Here's Your Interlude is about? Because that felt like, you know how, like, back to, obviously,
I love that shit. I love those
interludes. Drake be giving bitches interludes left, right, and center. Yeah. And he be naming them after the women. He just say, yo, hold that. Here's your interlude. Take that. Shut up. I was into it like, yo, who's this about? Because I'd be like, goddamn. Like, just like, yo, here's the thing that you wanted. Here's your interlude.
It's some very be careful what you wish
yeah,
for.
Yeah, you just dash it at her like that.
I love that.
So who's that about?
My ex.
You don't have to say who.
My ex.
Okay, okay.
I'm my ex-girl.
And the situation obviously went left because you just threw the interlude at her and said, hold that, yo.
That's not why it went left, but, like, that was one of the, like, I wrote that while we were still together, to be mm-hmm. honest, but, like, it was on the end of, like, type shit like that, but, yeah, that one had to go there still.
Yeah, it's a good one. I won't lie, I said, damn. I'm like, that's a really smart way to put it, though.
But that's literally what she asked for.
Yeah.
She asked for an interlude.
And man, like, said, here it is.
And it just happened to be that it was on the negative side of our relationship. Right. And I wrote it, so it was like, all right, here you go. Like, I wish it could have went differently, but, like, fuck.
Mm.
I can't, like, manipulate the art.
Do you find it hard to be in a relationship while trying to pursue your music career because of, like, how much you have to focus on what you're doing?
I'm happy you asked that, broski. I like his questions. Yo,
I'm right there with it, bro. Because I understand, bro. You had this talk on the pod and behind the scenes many times, so I want to know what you think about it.
Honestly, it's hard because, like, people don't understand that, like, as an artist, like, when I make music, I'm only giving, like, small parts of, like, me. Like, for example, like, if you hear some of my music, I make music out of aggression. More so sometimes. Not all of it, but a lot of it is, like, fiery. There's a lot of, like, fiery energy into it, like, in the sense of, like, that's where I channel that emotion into the music. But if you meet me in person, I'm a calm nigga. So it's like, people are like, what the fuck? Like, it's still a part of me, but it's maybe a part I suppress or don't show as much. Like, there's so many different dimensions to me. So it's like, people don't get the scope. Or even on social media, like, there's only so much you can get by doing that. So people might judge and be like, okay, yeah, this is the kind of person you are. And that could be tricky sometimes. Obviously, like, being in everyone's face all the time sometimes could be, like, tricky too. Some people don't like that, but shit, I don't like it. If I could be an artist and just chill out, chill. Mm-hmm. But I just happen to be gifted with words. So I have to, I don't have to, but I want to, like, share my gift with people. And do that. And in order to do that, I have to be in people's face sometimes more than I want to. That could be an issue too. I mean, I don't know still. I feel like it can be tricky. It just, fuck. It's tricky still.
It's not tricky.
It's tricky only because if you're concerned about how people see you, like I get misunderstood a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm very misunderstood in that sense. So it's like, I don't blame people because if I only looked at, like, Zoe's Instagram and I'm judging Zoe, like, I'm not going to get the full scope of Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, what else do you really have unless you meet somebody in person, right?
Yeah.
Or you come on, like, a podcast and you're able to talk and, like.
And that's what I think I want this, like, platform to be. Like, people come, like, you know, people come and do interviews on podcasts and they're like, you know, it's very, like, basic. But I want people to, like, know who anyone that we have on this podcast is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can have artists or just, like, regular people, friends. But the whole point of it is the conversation. People get to know you personally outside of your music and then kind of filter that around their judgment of you and, like, where your music comes from.
100%.
But, like, where did, like, your... When did you realize, okay, like, this is my passion and, like, I want to rap or I want to do music? Like, when did it, like, hit you? Was it always, like, from when you were a kid or was, like, one day, like, yo... This is it.
I always wrote poetry and stories. Like, as a kid, like, I remember being, like, 6, 7, writing, like, full, like, fully descriptive, like, triple-layered, like, character development stories in my books in class.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, writing poetry. Like, I always wrote poetry. I had like published poems at like the age of 7. Just because I wrote them shit, and people were like, what the fuck, and published it. Like, so I always was a writer, but music wise, like, I never really cared. I started like making music around like 15, 16. I never cared to put it out. Like, my niggas are the ones who put it out. Like, yo, I'm dropping this. Like, and I was, one day people messaged me like, your song's hard. I'm like, what are you talking about? My song's hard. My nigga DC, I put it on SoundCloud. So now I was like, fuck, like, people are fucking with this. I might as well just keep giving it to them, right? So I didn't really care to do it because I'm not the kind of person who likes to just be like sharing. Like, I felt like a certain vulnerability with sharing my, like, I'm a poet, so my music comes from a deeper place. I'm not just out here always rapping about, like, I talk my shit, but like organically, like, I would wanna, when I talk, it's from a place of like, that means something to me more times. Like, there's substance to it. So there's a certain sense of vulnerability that comes with that, which I didn't want to share with people off rip, but like, I kind of like, you learn the game, kind of how to navigate, how to use your words to say what you want to say without sometimes blatantly saying things. But now it's like, I like it still, because when people can relate to me and like they come in and they're like, yo, like what you said here, like having the ability to say certain things that people think or feel but can't put into words and music and make it fit, like, they appreciate like me as the medium, you know what I mean?
That's why people love Drake.
Yeah.
100%. Says the stuff says that you're thinking, but you don't never it. Said it.
Exactly.
That's 100%. A fact.
Speaking of like putting yourself out there, you know, and having like a representation of yourself and promoting, a lot of artists feel like there's like a pressure right now for them to make TikToks and, you know, make their social media presence like that. Do you feel like a pressure to have to do that?
Honestly, no.
Or, like, what's your approach with it?
Honestly, I tried the TikTok thing and it was going a little bit too well because I'm on road and people are like, yo, that TikTok. And I'm like, what? What about the music, my nigga? Like,
Were you more of like a personality on TikTok, or were you like just using it for like strictly for your music?
I wasn't even using it for music. I was just being a fucking goof.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just what
okay,
I'd be doing. Like, I'd just be doing my shit, just doing fuckery, just making people laugh, and then people are like noticing me and coming to me for that shit more than the music.
For like the TikTok personality rather than the artist.
Exactly. So I was like, yo, let me just go on easy with the TikTok thing before this album drops. And then I resume after, we'll see what happens. But I don't really like the whole, the whole content thing is like taxing. But one thing I've like keyed in on the past year is branding. Because I realized when you have your branding together, like content or like just everything you do just falls into place. Like, for example, I had my release party 2 days ago. Friggin' Catharsis, like, I used the emojis, like, the black heart, the red broken heart, to symbolize, like, how it feel, that the album feels, or the rose that was stumped over. And then for the release party...
You used to have it.
You used to have the pill, yeah.
From time.
But for the release party, the aesthetic was those colors, red and black. So we had the red and black flowers everywhere. We had red wine. I got wine glasses. I got like bare bouquets of roses. Gave it all to all the girls. I'm like, stuff like that. That was haunted. So
I know. You saw that, right?
Yeah, so that's why there was mad roses all over Snap. I'm like, who is giving out these roses?
Cereal roses.
Bare roses giving out. Girls are acting like it was their man. It was him the whole time. Girls because that's what girls be doing. They be
Tristor.
Posting.
Well,
they be putting it in their mouth and...
Girls be posting roses.
What girls are you following?
Hold on. That means that... Imagine not giving the girl them flowers.
I've never seen a girl put a flower in her... Like, put it in her mouth and do
flowers.
Are you're like a flowers giver? Like, that's a regular thing for you? Or
no, it's not still.
Why?
But now that I see it together, you know how the response is, like, you know, I mean, it's not like I wouldn't, like, I just don't have a girl to give flowers to, but
if you had a girl, you would continuously give her flowers.
See,
if she liked them, not all women like flowers.
Exactly. Like, I'm not gonna think flowers first of all. I'll think like you, like, interpersonally what you like.
I don't think I've ever given flowers to anybody.
Never.
Word.
Never.
I don't think so.
You know what's funny? At the release party, I was handing out flowers to all the girls. My nigga was like, yo, fam, what about me, fam? I can't get a rose too? I was like, yo, fam.
See, men always want what bitches have.
No. I was like, yo, broski, you know what? You're right. The man will never get no flowers.
That's
every
a fact.
Man gets a flower too now.
That's true.
We never get wrong. Flowers. When does a man get flowers?
Never.
When he dies.
Facts.
No, that's true.
It's true. So what's the male version? That's cathartic. What's the guy version of flowers? We don't have any.
You don't get shit, fam. So
like what material item?
Reversal Man going hard.
Right, Reversal now. Man is going hard. He brought it up. It's good. We need merch that says Reversal Man for Tresor to wear every single episode.
What material item signifies gratitude and love towards man?
We don't That's have equivalent one. To flowers?
That's equivalent to like a flower.
You know what slowly became that? Game systems.
That's not flowers, 2K? Though.
2K? Madden?
You've been bought a game system before?
A game. 2K.
Okay.
I've bought a few 2Ks.
A few 2Ks?
In my past.
I mean, like for multiple people?
No. Or for the same guy? I think only two guys have
got. He got 19, 20, 21, and 22?
He didn't. Not that recent.
Saying you bought 19 for two guys?
No.
Did you get like the limited, like the Jordan edition, the $200 one? Did you get
$200? No, it was not $200. Are you nuts?
VC point starter pack. Yeah, he needs to build his
$200 what?
But she's not gonna know that if she
it comes with like a poster and a jersey.
No, I get whatever one that's the disc and it's sealed and it says NBA 2K. I think it was like 15 or something.
15.
At the time, that's the nigga I was fucking with.
We were like just in high school.
No, we weren't. We were
like we just graduated.
How old was I in 2015? 18, 19? Just graduated.
You're taking your first job money and buying the man 2K.
Yeah, we just graduated. 2015.
That's how you're feeling?
2K15 is the last time you bought a 2K. Cute.
No, I think the last one I bought was 17. Cute. 17 or 18. No, 17.
I feel like you wouldn't buy that. I feel like you wouldn't do that. No.
Honestly, no. I mean, if it was my man, sure. But now for niggas who aren't my man, I'm not buying, that.
I'm 2K. Telling you, 2K.
Unless
like,
I'm getting some little gifts too.
Why?
Because unless I genuinely like you, I'm not just going to buy you 2K like that. Like, if we have a good thing going, okay, I'll get you a 2K. But it's like, I'm not just going to buy niggas 2K.
Y'all. But hold on. Who said we actually wanted 2K? Like,
he wanted it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he
I
wanted
don't want 2K. I don't know what I want yet, but I don't know. But I don't want 2K.
I don't even have a PS5.
See?
Man, I can't find 2K. One nowhere.
It's a good starting point, though.
It's still not. You have PS4?
I did, but I gave it to my nephew.
So, what do you? But you don't game like that, though.
I would if I had a PS5. But I don't.
I think the equivalent that women have to flout, like with men, there's probably none. Like I think clothes. I give men a lot of clothes sometimes.
But it's not like it's not like a common.
Yeah, it's not like a signifier, thing. Like a rose.
Like if you ask different girls, they're not all gonna say clothes. If you ask all the guys, they're gonna say either chocolate, plushies, or flowers.
Plushies,
like little stuffed bears, the ones shit. That y'all want us to win from the ex.
Oh, I'm not really buying. Oh, women like plushies
yeah,
still
for the girl for
the
girls.
Giant teddy bears.
I don't mind them, but I don't like. I'd rather like a nice bouquet of flowers or like a nice plant.
So if he comes in with a bunch of
the holistic things like the
plants. Like I'm into like orchids now. I want like a nice
little
orchid.
Leaves on the wall, right?
I like an orchid.
Some dandelions. Why?
Dandelions are fucked. I'm allergic to those.
Because flowers those are die. Weeds. That's that why? Flowers what? Die, but plants live forever.
Plants definitely don't live forever. My orchid is
struggling
right now.
Well, not forever, but longer than flowers. Like.
Yeah, but I like the whole like caring for flowers, like, watering them, putting in the flower food, like seeing them in like on your table.
The plants that the earthy chicks have live forever. Mm-hmm. The ones they put on the wall in front of the tapestry.
Bamboos. The bamboos that they
yeah, they and, this, the wine, the and they have like the thing. Sage and the rocks and crystals in front of them. If you go at a girl's house and she has like the tapestry and the sage and the rocks and crystals, you are in for a wild night.
And the tapestry is the picture of the wave. You know which one I'm talking about? The one that every shorty.
Oh, like the Japanese photo? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
If you see
about.
That one, you know.
Yeah, it's up.
I have art in my room, but I don't have like, niggas always say like the art and the blanket type when girls have like the animal print, like the zebra or like the cheetah blankets. I don't know where they're from. Hopefully not from the
flea market one.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't have
the thick one with the animal print on it.
Yeah. I don't have like any of that. Like I have like art in my room, but it's like I have like ballerinas. I have like I think like a word, like a quote on my wall, but not like.
What about the headboard with the diamonds in it?
No, I do not have that.
Oh, that one.
No.
That one's tizzy.
Have you ever been to a girl's Have you ever been to a girl's house and her bed's on the floor?
Yes.
Wave.
When I was living in the States.
Nah, that happened, no, that's regular. That's college. Not. That's,
it's not regular.
That's mean, not uncommon.
You mean just a mattress?
No, it's like, well, it could be just or a just mattress. A it's like, a box, you know, like the mattress. Like the beds ones. That are made to be on the floor.
Oh, I like those ones, though.
What do you mean made to be on the floor?
Yeah, I'm a little.
Like, it's like on the floor with the headboard type shit.
Yeah, like no, it's like the, I don't know how to describe it, but it's those beds aren't made to be on a bed frame. Like, almost like the, it's like a Japanese type Your vibe face. Where it's on the ground. You don't know what I'm. You've never seen that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's like a bed, like it's in a box thing. Look at your face, Zoe.
Well, I can't see my own face, Wayne.
Don't pass judgment on the girls with the beds on the floor.
Nah,
I'm not passing judgment. I just, okay. My bed, I can't sleep that low. I have back issues. I can't sleep that low to the ground.
It's a flat bed. What do you mean back issues?
But my bed has like a frame, a headboard, a box spring, and then a mattress.
But it's still as flat as anything else.
But I'm higher up off the ground.
How does that help your back?
That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does.
It's still flat.
When you're just
I'm
when
so
you're,
confused.
No, when you're close to the ground, it's just like, even like, it's different, man. I'm telling you. Because my old bed when I moved out was lower. Like, it's not a bed frame, but it was lower. And I used to be like, every day, I'd be like, yo, my back is fucked. But I was a broke student. So, you know, back then, I know I had to hold my little IKEA bed. But, you know, now, my bed now is nice. Like, my bed now, it's a nice bed.
Wait, so talk about that. So you used to play ball, right? And you were in the States?
Yeah, I used to play ball in the States.
How long were you there for?
Bro.
So you're a baller and a rapper.
I'm not a baller. I used to play ball. But
I need to say, like, we play ball in grade 9.
That's how I met him.
That's how we know each other.
We were on the same basketball team.
He was like.
Same school?
No.
I was like, did you go to school in Whitetown? And aren't you from, like, where are you from?
Whitetown?
Well, you went to school in, like.
Well, yeah, like, no, but I went to school in Vaughn, like Richmond Hill, for a bit too, and like I played on an AAU team there, and that's where like we met.
I played for his Vaughn team.
You were like our franchise, like max player when you got added to the mix and started dunking on niggas and shit. Like,
Vaughn Panthers.
Yeah. Oh, Panthers? Like OBA or AAU?
OBA.
OBA. Same word. That's how me and him.
I don't know how we never played you guys.
What team did you
play for?
I was on hype.
You were on hype?
Definitely. Yeah. I think I did face you.
That was the year. It was like
Reese and them?
Reese.
Oh, I lied. I played you
there. Kerwin.
And Jamal.
Jamal.
Top scene.
Tiki. Yeah. RIP Jamal.
Real shit. RIP Jamal. We played you then.
I'm pretty sure I faced the team.
For sure.
I remember that.
We played them.
Yeah. Reese remember.
Reese was torching us.
Yeah.
Who won?
I think we did.
I probably wasn't playing that.
We were Division 1 when you were.
No, but there was
squad.
Two teams also. Yeah. Like, sometimes people would switch
the one team to two
teams. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't remember that game. I probably wasn't playing.
So you used to, so from what, like high school, you played ball all the way through high school?
Yeah, through high school. And then I went, when I was 16, like I went to a prep school when I was 16. But the way it happened was like, because like, like, my home situation was kind of like, eh. And I was like, yo, I'm out of here. Went to...
bye.
100%. I was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. I'm going to go play ball. So I was nice. So I got to look over, went to Lux, went to school. They moved us into, like, this big-ass, like, crib. Like, a nice two-story crib. I had my own room.
Mm. What state?
Florida. In the middle of nowhere called Brandon, Florida. Mm. Little racist town. Like, anyways, moved us into a big-ass mansion. Stocked the food, the places with food. Parents came, saw us in. Okay, bye. They flew back. 2 months later, they sold the crib. We're homeless. Like, homeless. I talked about it on the album.
That
homeless, lived in a garage. My nigga, fucking, we're 16 with
this
our bags.
This is child abuse. This is, that's crazy.
Oh, it gets worse. We're homeless.
You're homeless in Florida?
Yes. They took away all communication from, like, our dukes back home, so we couldn't call nobody. Fucking, we lived in a garage, like probably the size from there to here. There's like 12 of us in bunk beds, living in a garage with roaches, frogs, fucking larvas in my bed. I'm waking up in the morning, like craziness. Like, it's raining, there's mold, like craziness. No food, like, to the point where, mind you, this is like 2 years I was there.
Years in the garage.
And it was like a prep school attached to like a cult, like super racist white Baptist church school that wasn't actually a school. So in the end of it, I didn't even qualify to go straight to D1. I had to go to JUCO. But like, we're living in this garage now and they're starving us. And like, I remember like the family whose garage that we're living in, they'd like be at their table, like eating dinner under the stinking chandelier. And we would be at the window like this watching them eat food. And we're starving. And I had to go to steal fucking brownie mix from Dollar General, sneak into their crib at nighttime, make the brownies, sell it at school, buy a box of pizza, last for the week type shit. Like, it was crazy. It was really tizzics. Like,
it sounds like a Netflix documentary.
No,
but
fuck?
You'd be surprised. So, no, but honestly, I'm not even that surprised. You'd be prep school stuff. There's nasty. A lot of like.
And you guys couldn't go home? Like, no one.
I would have found a payphone. I would have called my mom and be like, Mom.
Yeah, I would have known.
Get me
but,
now.
But watch this though, because my home situation at the time was not blessed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus, it was like, I wasn't even, at the time, I wasn't even talking to my dudes because of that home situation. But at the same time, it was like, if I go home back to the ends, what am I doing? No that's opportunities true. In the ends. I might as well try and make some shit shake out here. Yeah, try and be out here and do something different. If I go back to the hood, what am I doing? Should be in the hood.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrible.
I get bro. That. I get
go
that.
To school, go to school in the ends. Like, nah, I was like, fuck, I'm starting to try and make some shit shake. Then when I did get the 1-2 call home, like, you have to go into the church office during school time and, like, call. And, like, the principal, the vice principal, the pastor will all be looking at me like this while I'm on the phone.
So, and the school, like, so knowing
I don't say nothing crazy to, like, incriminate them. Like, I don't say, yeah. Hi, Mom. Yeah, I'm good, like, type shit, like.
So the school knowingly had you guys in this garage?
100%. People came, the YLM and the FBI, not FBI, whatever the fucking investigators came to investigate the garage because somebody from the year before, like, ratted or whatever. They moved us out for the day, bought bikes and balls and shit, made it look like a garage. They investigated it, garage, all right, cool, bye, left, moved us back in, type shit. The pastor... Like during we
had what school was this?
It was called Faith Baptist. The pastor,
Faith Baptist.
The pastor would like be talking during like the services, and mind you, there's like 40 immigrants from like all over the world here, Canada, United, fucking Africa, all over the South America. We're all there, and he's literally just talking about how Obama's the Antichrist, fuck Obama, this that mad like subliminal like racist shit, and we're just looking around like, yo, is this real? And then little did we know, the pastor was fucking off all the man's congregation's wives. Like, he was fucking the wives of the men in the congregation. And then he breeded one of them. And his wife was at home on bed rest. Bro, like, yo, broski, like, if I, and this is just the one state I lived in, the first state. Like, fam, the shit I've been through, fam, I swear to God, I can't lie. I can't make this up. It's madness. But...
That sounds like a documentary. Like,
yeah, you need to like write a screenplay or something. Nah, deadass, what the hell? That's a Netflix documentary.
It's madness.
Oh, you were actually in a documentary?
Yes, I was.
Yes.
No, it was a film documentary.
Documentary film by Director X?
Yeah.
What was it called again? Silent Streets?
Quiet Mind, Silent Streets.
Right.
Yeah.
How was that? I didn't get a chance to watch it, transparently.
That was lit. That was lit because it happened so organically because around the time of the album, and it's the same idea, so... It was basically 2019, right after I dropped Sidebag and shit blew up crazy. Then a shooting happened in the ends, and then shit went crazy. And then,
so the one that you referenced on your album, that was a 12-minute.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I remember all
the news. That news clip, crazy enough, was the people on the news and the police chief blaming me for the youth's death.
Blaming you?
There was a video that had dropped right after mine and that was shot at the same buildings that was... The reason for the polys.
The side bag video.
Not mine, another one.
But a different.
But then the next one got, you took it down, and then mine was the one that everyone knew that was blown up. So then the police chief's on the thing, on the news, bumping side bag, yeah, this is the thing. And then the lady's like, oh, the rapper comes through these doors, and da-da-da-da-da, he shot the... And after a girl messaged me on Instagram, yo, you're on the news, like, da-da-da, they're saying it was you. I'm like, what the fuck?
What?
I go there, they're saying that my video was the video that da-da-da-da.
Like, incited violence?
Yeah, and made the youth die, and then you hear the song in the background. I'm like, holy fuck, shit's crazy.
So wait, during the shooting, they were like, your song was playing?
No, this is not during the shooting. On the news about the shooting, about the youth's death, they heard there song? Was a video, and then they were playing my video because mine is the one that blew up in the city and everyone knows it. So that's what was going on. This is the reason why I went for that big hiatus after that shit went crazy, and everyone's like, yo, where did Wave go? She was real. I can't even get into the other shit. She was real. But whatever. So after that shooting, what do you call it? They did.
And you were there, right? Like, were you at that?
No, I wasn't. Oh, okay, I wasn't there still. But after that, I guess like a teacher from our ends, she basically was trying to implement meditation to the kids because the kids are there traumatized. They don't have no resources. So she reached out to Director X, and he was like, "Yeah, cool. You wanted to come to the school?" Principal said no. They decided to come and do a film about us.
The principal said no?
That he couldn't come talk to them.
Interesting, okay.
It just, like, neglect shit. You already know how that shit goes in the community, but whatever. So boom, long story short, they did a thing on us. They asked me and some of my dogs to come be a part of it because we're active in the community, giving back and shit like that. And I'm a figure of the community. So we did that. They interviewed us, did it about whatever. And then they asked if I can put a song in the film. So I was like, all right, cool. Gave them the song Save Me off my album. Mm-hmm. And it fits perfectly. And then, yeah, it premiered. It was lit. It was a good opportunity, too. I got to meet them. Build some relationships through like film and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And you went to TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yeah, and it was premiered at TIFF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to give a okay.
he's so sorry, we're was, so into it.
Yeah,
he's that like, was, you got to jump.
I don't
above.
Think that's the craziest story I've heard on this podcast.
Yeah,
you're still on the next thing, alright? The next story, fam. There's more, fam. What the fuck? That's for the next episode. I come on here again. I'll tell you guys more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Expose the prep school industry.
Yeah, fuck
that happens.
Shit.
I have
fuck
so many friends too. That were in so many wild situations and
fuck, yeah.
In Vegas, in California, in Atlanta, in Florida.
Are you crazy?
And you're still wait, sorry, not to go back, but you're still balling at this school too.
You
like you're still playing ball and you're still going to class.
Yes,
but you're going back after class to a garage.
To a garage.
Dropping 30, going back to a garage is crazy.
A garage.
What the fuck?
With roaches and frogs and all sorts in there.
What about the bathrooms, showering?
There was like one little shower. And then at the next year, at the end of the last year, they moved us into the school's change room.
You so guys we're lived living, in the school
change? We're sleeping in the shower of the school's change room. I can't even lie, where we showered. There was baseball niggas there from like Venezuela and da-da-da-da. There's another team there. And literally, like, the son of the pastor played in the MLB, so he would, like, give them little food sometimes in the morning.
What the fuck?
And we'd have to go down there with baseball bats and fight the youths for the food because they wouldn't share. Like, literally fight the youths with bats, bust them out, like, for food, and then bring it back to the garage, like, on some savage shit. Like, what are we doing?
That's crazy.
Like, it's insane, yeah.
My nigga, like...
That's crazy. Man, how are you doing Hunger Games for some food?
Nah, for real.
I'm 16 years old, my nigga. Like, it's crazy, fam. But I ended up getting a Division I scholarship. Did my thing. So that was my dream as a youth. And shit. Fuck. It is what it is. Fuck. Like, what can I say? It's a story now. Shit. They didn't make a movie about this shit, for real. Like,
no, literally. That's it. This is literally like a screenplay, like documentary... Dramatized biography,
and
whatever.
That's just 2 years. Then I went to Texas. Then I went to Then I went to South Carolina. I went to the most racist places.
Florida.
Yeah, Texas
is wild.
Like
South Carolina.
And if you're not in like Houston or Dallas, like you are in racist Texas, like open carry racist ass Texas.
I was in Corsicana, Texas.
I don't know what that is.
It just sounds
it
racist.
It sounds racist.
Corsicana.
The fuck you can hear is a hard ER.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It sounds racist. Yeah, oh man.
Anyways, onto some other shit, man.
So like, how do you... So, okay, so after all that happens, you come back, whatever, and whenever you decided to start really taking music seriously, there is a stigma about ex-athletes starting to make music.
Mm. How or did even you, current athletes. Sorry, not to cut you.
Yeah. How did you push... Like, how did you get out of that, of people not going to take you seriously because, oh, it's just another baller mm-hmm. trying to make music and people, like, hating on that?
Well... People that know me know that, like, before I was ever hooping, like I said, I was a poet, I was a writer. But it's just, I don't know, like, I guess the content or my music was just good. Like, people fucked with it. So it wasn't like, oh, da-da-da. Like, I don't know.
With current athletes making music.
Put that shit
See,
on.
I feel like.
I don't know. To me, it's like, I get it. You know, you have the resources and, why not? But it's also like. Why?
They're trying to live their dreams. By the end of the day, sometimes it's like, fam,
like,
I don't know.
Why?
You can't tell no one not to express themselves.
Exactly.
But you can do it in so many ways. And if it's not, like, in you like that, like, just write a book.
But do you believe you can genuinely have time to be, like, an NBA pro baller and then, like, drop, like, music?
100%.
Like, yeah, like, you can make music, but it's not like
But they don't be dropping, like...
It's not crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
but sometimes, like Damian Lillard has like an album.
No, I know, but
and his is pretty good. Like he can rap,
but he's like one of like
I was gonna say also with Dame Dollar, is that not his rap name?
Yeah.
Also with him, it's like because one of my boys like worked with him, like produced or was like one of like the songwriters on his track, whatever. Like what, like his. we're not knowing Dame for his music. And that album was not no, like,
see, I feel
notable. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I feel like there's certain people who do that shit, and they just make it look crazy for the people who can do that shit.
Okay, yeah.
You trying to say?
Yeah.
There's people who just do it because they can do it.
Like Lonzo Ball. And
probably
Ball.
Shouldn't do it. But there's people who actually are meant to do this shit, and it's like, even just being an artist in general.
Right.
Fuck even if you used to do whatever you used to do before that or whatever you did it like in your life. Just being an artist. Like, even me as an artist who, like, is a talented artist and makes good music, it's like there's people who just do the shit just to do the shit, or they're not, their heart's not really in the shit, and it's like, you could have just not done this.
Mm.
But now, as an artist, we're all in the same pool, so now everyone's looking at me like the same way.
Yeah. Mm. It's because there's no like gateway or credentials. Like, it's something that everybody could do. Like, you could exactly. be a real estate agent today, and then tomorrow you decide you're a shit. Rapper.
You know what's crazy about that too, fam?
But everyone groups you in with people that
just woke actually up one have been day taking like, it
serious. Yeah. It's different from like sports and stuff where it's like I can't wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what, I'm joining the Raptors. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine that was an option?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying in that regard.
It's not like that. But it's like I could literally wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what, I'm gonna be a rapper and change everything about myself and be a rapper.
There's still
a very like distinguishing line between, at least for me, like I can tell, like, okay,
this nah, person, but not like, necessarily, you can tell, because if you measure it by success, like there's a lot of track, and that's why there was that whole debate about and I don't know why I always have to be like the talking about what girls do guy, but it's relevant. It was that debate. It was that debate about how it's like, why do girls love famous rappers but hate dudes that say they want to rap? And people were saying, oh, it's because these new rappers aren't good, or like they're not established and they're not serious. But then people were saying, yo, there's bare trash rappers that are up.
For
and
sure.
They're up trash rappers are still getting the girls.
Absolutely.
So it's not saying, about talent. So like,
it's not about talent. It's about the end goal. It's about where you are now.
Yeah.
It's like how girls don't like when guys are growing out their hair, but they love when their hair has locks, long dreads long and the locks are down the back.
You don't
back,
like the little struggle like stage or the tiny bumps and the... The struggle
China
locks.
Bumps, bitch.
Is that what's it called? Is that wrong to say? Is China bumps derogatory? If it is, I apologize. If not, we're wrong.
It could be derogatory to the China, but that we grew up calling them China bumps. I don't know why we even call them China bumps. I really don't know.
Yeah,
why.
Because I swear Asian people's hair can't even.
Now
like,
they're called Bantu knots. Now it's like Bantu knots are like the more.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, like Bantu knots. I think I don't know if they're even this. They're not really the same as China. Just say Bantu knots.
Yeah. So the
but
Bantu
guys don't Bantu. You don't Bantu.
The Bantu knots are like what the Florida man's do.
You do the little struggle twist.
Yeah.
Bantu knots are like what you do to like curl. Like, I'll Bantu knot my hair like before I go to bed if I want my hair curly the next day.
See, I was talking about like the little Kodak things.
Florida
like the bar,
shit.
Like
I don't know what to call
Lisa
that.
The Lisa Simpson joints.
Okay, I don't know what that is. I don't know that the word.
Oh, yeah, anyways. What was I had a... There was a point to that.
I will just... Like, on top of like what you guys are saying, I just kind of wanted like... I think this is a dilemma that like almost plagues like the black community.
Not plagues.
When your friend, someone you care about, is trying to rap and you know this ain't it, this is not work, what is the approach to telling him?
I say stop it.
If you're a good friend, you're going to tell him
I'm like, you need to work with other resources.
But not everyone's like
to help.
You though.
They're not. Like, but respectfully, we need more people like me. 100%. Because I'm going to tell you, you need to, like, I had a friend who like used to, like, yo, I want to rap. And he put me shut, like, yo, this, what are you saying? Like, your enunciation is ass. This beat is ass. Like, if you want to rap, cool. But you need to find a better producer. You know, I'm trying to try to network and finesse something. Maybe get a songwriter or five in the room to, like, help you get some tracks. Work on your enunciation. I don't know. Go to a speech therapist, something. Because
more friends need to be like Zoe.
No, and I'm not going to tell you to quit. But I'm going to tell you need to work on a lot of shit. And I told him, like, nigga, you need to work on a lot of shit because your enunciation is ass.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you, like, behind the scenes, how long were you working on your craft before you actually put stuff out? Because I think people feel like I said, people feel like you just wake up one day and just start rapping it and it's just going to be good. But people don't know, like, the work that you had to put in.
Mm.
Honestly, like, because I've been writing since I could remember, like, it wasn't like, I'm like, oh shit, let me, like I never planned to push it out. Niggas just put it out. So like, it was probably like my fifth ever song that people that my niggas dropped, and people fucked with it. So I didn't really like do bear that. Like I was just like, fuck it, we're here. I just put out whatever else I make type shit. And then like I put out a couple songs, and then like I put out Side Bag, and that shit went.
What numbers are you at for that song?
I don't know.
Almost like 100 or something.
It's like almost 200K
on Spotify.
On Spotify, and then on YouTube, like 90K or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Across all platforms, like almost like 750,000, maybe like 75. Something around there. I don't know. I can't really remember, but
Those are really good numbers.
Do you feel like Sidebag is like one of those Toronto songs, like one of those anthems? Because I hold it in that regard.
People like a lot of people come like compare it to the Griselda thing.
It's more outside sort of.
Yeah, because in that era, like 2019 summer, like had the shit was on lock. Like
is that when Griselda dropped? Wasn't it earlier than that?
That was 2018.
Yeah, I was there, like 2018.
2019 Sidebag was going crazy. Like I remember, like one time I was driving in traffic, and some guy cut me off, and I put I was in a Side Bag. Call that. I was like,
he was playing it?
He's blasting the song, and I'm not about to cuss the man. I'm like, no, do your thing. Go on.
That's a good moment.
I'll be walking downtown.
Did he know that was you? Like, yo, nigga, you're playing my track.
I didn't even stay long enough. I was like, yo, when he went, I was like, yo, that's crazy. I remember, like, I was walking down Queen Street one time, and then cars, it was summertime, so cars are bumping music. Side Bag. Two minutes later, next one.
Yeah.
2 minutes later, next one. My nigga calls me, yo, fam, I had like five cars. Like,
how does that feel?
Crazy. But it made me
like,
realize,
genuinely, like how, like
honestly, like I knew it was a banger when I made it. Like a year, it was a year old before I dropped it. Like we all knew, but like when it started doing that shit, I was like, yo, niggas' songs don't actually like niggas' numbers are lying because niggas' songs don't actually be in the streets like that. Like I don't be hearing other niggas' shit like that. No. So now I was like,
especially not here. Okay,
that's what I'm trying to say. Right. Like people don't actually know your shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, so talk about that actually. So now that you're in the industry. And you kind of see behind the wall, behind the curtain. Was it a shock to you to see how much of the industry is just like fake? Just a facade in terms of numbers, how much money people have, that type of stuff.
The money is the thing that really got me. Like I was like, fam,
people do not have money like that.
Your knees are really broke, fam. and moving like they're super up. Like no knock to anybody. Like get it how you live, but like. Damn, it was crazy. Like, I was like, damn, like, when I started learning the things that men are doing, and like, how, I was like, oh shit, like me, like, mine's just off the muscle, so I know how that is, but it was just like, damn, like, at least I thought that, and then had that for myself, so I got myself to where I wanted to be, but like, looking at it, back at it, I'm like, damn, like, niggas had me fooled, still. Like,
and then, once you know, you kind of, it's easy for you to detect it. Like, I could look 100%. At something and be like, that looks a little fishy.
But you know more than anybody else would know.
That looks a little fishy because it's like there's no way that your song could have 10 million streams and
in
you have
Toronto.
10 million streams and you have 300 followers on Instagram. Like just stuff like that, you're like, okay, this doesn't. 100%.
YouTube videos got 500,000 views and there's 18 comments, you know?
YouTube video has a million streams and the song on Spotify has like 4,000 streams. Stuff like
500 monthly listeners.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up still. But honestly, the game
a lot of people on Instagram be like that. I pre that hard. Whenever I see like 1,000 followers, I'm like, let me see the likes. Let me see the comments. Because I'm like,
let me see that ratio.
A lot. And I'm not trying to, because I'm not knocking. Actually, no, I am knocking it. Because why are you doing that? A lot of people buy followers, whether it's for their brand, for their personal. One thing I said when I started this podcast, like, yo, one thing I'm not doing, I'm never buying followers. I will rather have 500 followers on this podcast page before I go to my pocket out of my hard-earned salary and pay to look like people are listening to this shit.
Zo.
One thing about this show, every single like, follower, comment, we earned that shit.
People buy their blue checks too.
Yeah,
fake verified.
That's
people.
One thing. Everything that we've done this podcast, we've literally earned it from 2020 now. I will never buy followers, buy comments, buy downloads, none of that shit. Because at the end of the day, what?
It's literally just appearances. It means
nothing. You know what? Some people actually are got by that. It's the people who look at the, like you said, oh, this thing is shit, but he looks like he has.
Because he has 20,000 followers.
Now you're a guy. Those are the people that gets. Mm-hmm. And then they'll look at someone like me who's organically, like, if you say my name in the city, people know me. Mm-hmm. They can sing you a Wave Mountain Tiger song word for word.
Yep.
But so-and-so might be more, have more clout because they're into the gimmicks or they're it looks better on paper. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, okay, well, this guy's more lit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So
it's optics, and the optics. People need to read through the optics. Please start doing, when it comes to creatives and artists, please start reading through the optics. There's a lot of talented people out there who are not going to their pockets because they have pride to buy followers and to buy clout.
I also think it's just like, it's almost a sense of media literacy, you know?
For sure.
Just being like, just knowing, even seeing like a fake video and knowing it was choreographed or something like that, knowing that they're doing this for the clout, for the attention, you know? I think everybody needs to fix up collectively in that regard.
Are you still independent or are you signed?
Still independent, still.
Do you think you're going to stay that route, or if a label came to you with like a good situation, you would do it?
I feel like until, like, I cement myself a certain way, I wouldn't really, I don't know if I consider it. I don't know. Like, I'm not really into, like, I feel like labels are, like, to, like, blow you up crazy, put you in everyone. Like, I'm not really into that shit.
Like, we spoke about that, about Ice Spice.
Yeah. Just out there everywhere. Like,
if I see you on Rolling Loud performing one song, Wave, I'm going to be upset.
No. I wouldn't do a one song. But like, but if that song's crazy, then it's like, fuck, like. I don't know still. I feel like, like, what I want to do in long term, like, it's not about that. Like, but if a label could help, cool. Well, I feel like to gain any, like leeway with a label, you have to have your own things going in. And, like, you have to, like, have a certain shit together so that you can approach them like, yo, this is what I have, this is what I need from you type shit. I would probably do that. But, like, right now, like, nah, I want to build my shit organically. Still have my team and, like, I do how I want to do it, you know?
And, like, let's talk about the city a little bit. Like, you're from Moulton, right? I feel like people don't, like, realize how much... You can drop it. Go ahead. You were, like, studying. I feel much realize, like, how much, I guess, like, culture and, like, how much where you're from, whether, like, in Toronto or the GTA, how much that, like, builds you or, like, characterizes you. Like, I'm from Brampton, right? And that characterizes me, I guess. Whatever, we're not going to get into it. But, like, yeah, how does being from... Because also, like, not to, like, speak of, like, the hood or whatever, but, like, my dad was born in Jane and Finch. Like, oh, not lie, my dad was born in England, but when he came to Canada, he lived at Jane and Finch. My grandfather actually kicked my dad and his brothers out when they were 18. So when they all were 18, they're like, all right, bounce. Like, you got to go. So they end up living together. But I actually saw my uncle, because my dad passed away. I saw my uncle recently, and he was like, yeah, like... We lived in, like, Jane and Finch, like, the hood, like, and, like, we're talking about, like, jungle and, like, chalk farm, like, areas in Toronto where, like, you know, we're, like, more, like, rougher areas, you would say, and, like, nothing's other than, like, jungle now, like, they're trying to, like, really gentrify jungle. Like, I don't know if you guys have been recently, my cousins were telling me, yo, you go to jungle now, it's kind of like, this is not what, like, this was before. Like, they're really trying to, like,
do that a lot of places. Though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Region. But it's, like, it's still, like, the hood, like, where, like, my dad and, like, his brothers, like, grew up, like, Jane Finch area, it's gentrified, but there's still a lot of history that's continued to today. Like, you talk to my, like, aunts and my uncles about, like, Driftwood, like, Jane Finch, like, and they still, like, back then it was like, yo, like, those were the areas, like, you didn't really want to go to, or you knew who was in that camp or whatever, and that's still, like, how that is today. So it's interesting to see that, like, yes, gentrification is happening, but there's still, like, that history in those areas that have been going since, like, the 70s, 80s, 90s until now. So, like, what does that mean to you also being from Moulton?
I feel like Moulton's always been a place where, like, I don't know. Like, a lot, like, if you say Moulton around, like, older heads, like, they're like, oh, yeah, like, people know, like.
Yeah.
And I feel like for a while, like, Moulton was just, like, it's just Moulton. Like, it's always been what it's been, but, right. Like. We're not an ends that's, like, in everyone's face. If you know Moulton, you know Moulton. If not, then whatever. But I feel like when I started, like, making music, it, like, came back to the forefront. Like, now people know what the Ave is. Like, you say the Ave, niggas know, oh, that's Moulton. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So I feel like it's having, like, it's like, it's re-emerged in a sense. But, yeah, it has a lot of history still. Moulton is a place of a lot of history.
Yeah.
And I feel like every Moulton man knows each other too. Is it like a small community?
Moulton is pretty small.
Everybody I know from Moulton knows each other.
100%. Like it's a weird type of thing. Like if you look at other places, like if you look at like the Gin, for example, that's like a strip.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a street with like little places along a street. Like Moncton is an actual ends. Like there's like 7-8 schools within the place. Like there's like a mall there. There's
Westwood
Mall. Come on. There's like
come on.
There's like everything you like. There's like everything is in this one big small area.
Mm.
Like Rexdale is to this side. Like there's like everything like is bordering. Let's like, the three different like cities bordering Moncton. It's like everything is here. Like so it's like it's big for ends, but it's small. It's not like a city. It's like a town. Right. It's like a town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. There's not a lot of places that have that in the GTA.
Right.
So I guess that's what makes it kind of special. It makes everyone kind of know each other, you know?
Yeah, because they tried to, like, my aunt lives in Moncton. I'm talking about like Westwood, because I used to, like, spend a lot of time in Moncton. But, like, yeah, like, they try to, like, gentrify Moncton, make it, like, Mississauga. And, like, if you're from Moncton, like, you are not calling it Mississauga. Like, my aunt's like, I do not live in Mississauga. I live in Moncton.
They
like,
banished us from a long time ago. They said, fuck, you guys not getting no funding, no programs.
Oh, Jesus.
You guys just go in the roads and do what you guys want to do. We'll give the funding to these guys over here in Square One ends. You fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Like the fucking black sheep of whatever. Like, it wasn't even a part of Saga until, like, I forget what year it was. It was a part of, like, I think Rexdale or mm-hmm. like a part of Toronto, and then Toronto's like, we don't want them. Fuck, you guys take them.
Jeez.
They're like, oh fuck, we gotta take this. And it's not, you know, when you're picking your runs for the random, and it's like, the last waste man, and it's like, fuck.
Yo, we already got our team.
Yeah, I'll take this guy still, and it's like, fuck, this guy's left. We have to take him still.
Yeah.
Yo, you take him. I don't want him, so you take him. All right, fuck, we'll take him. And then you just don't pass him the ball. That's Martin.
Jesus.
That's why this is the 8-ball shit, because it's the black ball, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So when you leave here, you're actually hopping on a flight and you're going to London, which is insane.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to leave soon, big man. Even on the album, I hear like some mm-hmm. London influences in there. So like, who do you listen to from London that you're like that you really like appreciate?
That I really appreciate. I fuck with Tion. I fuck with Russ Millions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I fuck with Russ. I fuck with
Yo, what's your sound again? Sorry, not to interrupt you. What is it? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it. Y'all gonna hear the album. I was like, yo, that is like waves like
It's fire. That's fire.
It is fire.
It's one of those that's like you need like when you get your sound.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
Everyone knows your sound. Like Tion is the
100%. 100%. But yeah, I fuck with those guys. I fuck with a couple other guys still. A couple lower low key guys.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really think of it off top, but those are two like I super fuck with for sure. It's supposed to be lit over there still. First time in London.
Yeah,
flight leaves at like 11.
Yeah,
it was right now.
For you guys, it's 8:23 for you guys listening. And he says his international flight leaves at 11. Leaves at 11. Nah. Which means
are you checking your bag?
Yes.
Did you check in already?
No.
Oh, check in.
Yeah, you should check. If you said yes, I'm like, oh, you're blessed because the check-in line.
If you leave at 11, boarding's probably at like 10:20.
Yeah, you should have checked in though. It's cool.
Yeah, when we're done, at least check in.
Yeah,
at least check in.
Right now, we're present and we're at Relentless Diaries.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
But honestly, I think you're gonna have it. I've never been to London. You're like the London connoisseur from Toronto.
Get me shot. The ends in that south east.
So I think you're gonna have a great time there. I think.
Pounds on deck.
Oh, raw. Excuse
man has
me.
Pounds ready already.
In
you know?
I'm ready, blood.
Excuse me.
That's ready, crazy. Blood. Man has the stack of
pounds. Already converted in it.
Oh my God. I think
trying to do the money phone yet.
Once we bridge this gap between the UK and Toronto, I think that will greatly help Toronto's creative and music scene. Like I said, we gotta bridge it. We gotta hold hands and go across and just bridge this back gap because
distant cousins.
No, for real. Because like UK and Toronto unite, we could be like bigger than like the United States infrastructure. Like it's nuts. It could be insane.
Yeah, it's just because it's so far.
That's the hard part too, right?
If the UK wasn't as far,
mm-hmm.
it would be crazy.
But it's like a lot of Americans do not fuck with UK rap. A lot of them don't.
They can't get past the accent. A lot of them.
They hate it. They That's hate crazy. It, and
can't
it's so
even get
weird.
Ours.
Yeah, and it's like when I'm like in the States, I'm like, yo, like play this song. And they're like, yo, who the fuck is that? And I'm like, y'all don't listen to Y'all listen to y'all. But they
can't even
rap?
They can't even get over their own accents. Like a New York nigga in the South, they're gonna be like, "What the fuck?" Like,
that's true. That's true.
They can't
get
over their
true.
Own shit. They're not gonna yeah. hear that.
But yo, you, I love UK rap. That's one thing. I really enjoy UK rap.
They're like slowly. I think it's like the younger generation are like slowly trying to get mm-hmm. into it because of like the Central C's and mm-hmm. those type of people. But I think like yeah, people have, just have to once they get over the accent and
yeah,
and the whole wave of like you know. Not the whole wave of drill beats and everything right now. It's like a lot of it came from there, you yeah. know? And yeah.
all so that's New why York I think they're starting to kind of be open to it because all the New York mans are rapping on drill beats.
Yeah.
Some of them are collaborating. There's like Moneybag Yo and Digga mm-hmm, D songs.
Yeah,
and
Five Yo.
Gunna and Nath Smalls mm-hmm. have songs. Like,
yo, I feel
they're doing it just for the like, the clout factor.
They are, but they're not really promoting because even like on Heady One's out, Future is on Heady One's album, and I don't think a lot of people have ever heard that song. But the song is hard.
I haven't. I have to listen.
Yeah,
to
it's
it.
Called. I think it's called "See No Evil." That track is crazy, but
yeah, I feel like. Know. But I feel like the accents.
Summer Walker and Fredo have a song on Fredo's album.
Oh, do they?
Nobody knows. Yeah, and it's know. Hard.
Yeah, I feel like the accents make their punchlines like a little bit harder. Like, have you seen the shape of her body? Like, that line, me and my little cousin, Alexia, like, have you seen the shape of her body? Like, that line
makes the whole
song.
I think it's the flows. And then when you listen to UK music, it's like, there's certain flows that only sound good in that accent.
That's facts.
Like, when you try it, it doesn't hit the same.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy, too? We have that same factor in our mm-hmm. shit. But we just, a lot of people from Toronto don't tap in to, like I hear a lot of, like, artists from Toronto will put on, like, American accents.
Yeah,
start rapping. It's like, what are you doing, fam? I talk to you every day. I hear you talk all the time.
You don't sound like that.
It's more so the girl them. A lot of girls in the city be putting on the New York accent and rapping because, like, I guess a lot of rap comes from New York, so they just feel like they have to do that when they rap.
Mm.
But it's like, just talk how you talk. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean,
wow. Yeah.
And you can have your own like our lingo is crazy. Like Toronto lingo is like probably the most outlandish, crazy shit you've ever heard in your life. So it's like. Talk your shit, my nigga. Like it'll be the same as what people think about the UK.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that we're missing here is like a identifiable sound. I think once Toronto has like a sound, then people would probably feel more comfortable talking.
I feel like we kind of do, but you don't like it.
That 40 but underwater, that, you know?
Yeah,
the, no, but that's Drake not, nothing was the
no,
same thing.
But
we were
I don't think
about.
That's what she's thinking.
Okay.
About. The 40 underwater sound, like, yeah, it's a good sound, but the thing is, like, not a lot of people can do that mm-hmm. at a high level.
I feel like the sound is, like, a whiny, like, crybaby thing.
Yeah.
Like, the heavy auto-tune.
It's the heavy auto-tune.
Chicago.
Whiny. Yeah. And I
don't like that. I'm not even gonna lie.
I'm not the biggest fan of it.
I don't like it.
I'm not the biggest fan of it.
It's hard to see it. Like, you don't often see that done well. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why when I hear shit like yours, I'm like, okay. Yeah. This is it. But yeah.
Because it's crazy to me why, like, the main artists from Toronto that I hear, they don't sound identifiable. Like, you don't really know where they're from, but their music is, like, really good. Like, yours, I wouldn't hear automatically and be like, yo, this is a Toronto man. Like, if I didn't know the accent or whatever. Or someone else I listen to a lot is Free-A. Free-A doesn't sound like every other guy who makes music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just something I noticed.
Are you ready for your freestyle?
Get it, man.
You want
before
to
you
end
head out of
your
here.
Freestyle. Yeah, we got to make sure you catch your flight.
Let's get it.
But we have to make sure.
Because we cannot reimburse you for...
Literally. But we haven't had a relentless rap session since we had Ryan, so I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited, too, man.
You know I love a good freestyle.
Me, too. Let's go.
Hold on, let me make sure my
so are we just gonna like?
Are you gonna drop it?
Are we gonna end this now? Nah, this is him. This is album time. This is him. So are we gonna like end it now and let him do it, or end it after he's done?
We can end it. We gotta get a little reaction, and then we'll end it after he's done.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We good?
Okay. You ready for your freestyle?
Let's get it.
Okay. Wait.
Axel, you gonna hype man?
Shout out Relentless Diaries, ATG, 8-Boy, Ab shit.
You can't rap. Don't come on Relentless.
You can't rap.
Relentless.
Yeah. Catharsis, 1021. Let's stream that. Out everywhere. Shout out to Av. Know we coming. London soon come. My life real, a lot of shit that nigga don't mention. If I had one wish, just bring back streets or free big bro out the tension. R.I.P. to the dogs, them living dead, I miss my brethrens. Cause they alive, but dead inside like life is pending. Some man's live through me though, so I gotta go get it. Get it legit, swipe that credit, whip that stretch it. Whatever it is, I'm with it. A lot of niggas don't get it. Cause you ain't never been homeless, they can't relate. So I paint that perfect picture, my life real, no edit. Me and her ain't speaking the same, between us too much tension. And I love that girl, but she ain't my speed, so I had to dead it. And it hurts to do it, I just hope that I don't regret it. Bleaching longer, sleep at night, no, cause I'm a hood medic. When you with me, I'll cash no debit. I'm just trying to go leggy. I'm just trying to get rich, but the city's crazy, so I hold semi. Yeah, I fuck up the club when they play my tunes off Leechy Remy. I keep thinking about shorty, Nani, good in the asset, heavy. Holy fuck, combination, deadly, holy fuck. Losing my mind, trying to run it up. Life's like 15 bands off cuffs. No one to keep me seen or trust. Get more L's, take more dubs, and I get enough change, but it's not enough.
Catharsis, this Friday, 10/21. Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere. DSPs, ABCs, 123s, LMX, XWYZs. You feel me? Stream that.
Relentless
Diaries, Relentless Raps, Episode 2. You feel me? Don't come up here if you can't rap.
This is a Relentless exclusive, y'all. Relentless. Don't, like I said, don't come here if you can't rap. But come here if you can rap.
But you see where it's at. But yeah, you see where
exactly,
the bar is at.
And I enjoy this and I like to hear it. So listen, if you are a rapper in the city, anything, if you can rap, like we've had Ryan, now we have Wave, whoever's going to be number three, we'll see who can do a freestyle and keep up with the dogs. But yeah, I appreciate you coming here. This has been a great exclusive. Make sure everyone goes and streams Catharsis on October 21st, this Friday. Wherever you are, make sure you download on any music downloading platform and stream it. It's a really good project. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Relentless.
And we'll have you back.
Come on.
Period.
See me
soon. Relentless.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.